This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's an MCSE here at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online on this, yes, 4th of July, our Independence Day. For those of you who don't know why we celebrate it, it's our Independence Day. And definitely, we're happy to be here and here to help you with your computer problems and comments, questions, and concerns. On our nation's birthday. So let's get to your news here, Bob. You got some stuff you wanted to bring up, huh?
Yeah, I was combing through technology news, and it seems kind of weak. I think
it's a holiday.
Yeah, so I had to go back a few days.
Yeah.
But I found one that I thought was interesting because it was technology-based and not so much politically based.
That's nice. So we like that.
Anyway, this one is, you know, this is CNET.
Yeah.
Robot actress to star in big-budget sci-fi movie.
Interesting. So an artificial intelligence.
The artificially intelligent actress named Erica.
Okay, I like that she's close to my name. I like that.
Trained on the principles of method acting, has already done some filming.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. A robot named Erica will have a leading role in a $70 million science fiction film with the single letter title B.
Well, being that it would probably be a B movie for $70 bucks, am I right? $70 million seems kind of cheap these days.
This was reported by the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah,
the film will be the first to rely on an artificially intelligent actor. Producer said,
"Wasn't that all of Hollywood artificially intelligent?" No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Sorry.
Depends on who you listen to, I guess.
Yeah.
The movie will follow a scientist whose program to perfect human DNA runs into unexpected dangers, and who must help the artificially intelligent woman he designed to escape.
Yeah. All right.
So, and that goes on. There's more on it, but I thought it was pretty good.
Sure. Hey, I mean, we're going to put some actors out of work, but I don't think so.
I think she's going to be supported by a list of actors.
And
they said they were going to have, the Erica may be the first leading lady, but she's far from the first robotic actor. In 2015, a robot starred in a German stage adaptation of My Fair Lady called My Square Lady. And so, there's other things in there. It's really interesting.
It is interesting. All right.
They're going to have a robot. She is supposedly, you can talk to her and everything, and she responds just like a human would. So,
an artificially intelligent human.
Well, we'll see how realistic it is when the film comes out.
I think it's great. In other news, Facebook partners with Full Fact to help people spot fake news. It's turning to an ad campaign that will run across Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. So if you can't spot fake news, Facebook will help you spot it for you if you're in those areas. And it's kind of interesting. I was, you know, I posted something myself just a few days ago, and it was a 2016 article. It might have even gone further back, but it was a 2016 article from a dental health magazine talking about why face masks are not necessary for dentists. Now, of course, I've got my face mask. I wear it happily, if that's what you'd like me to do. But this article argued why they're useless for dentists. And it talked about SARS, COVID, SARS, H1N1, all the other infectious diseases, and how the face masks were not beneficial to dentists. And I won't go into the article because they themselves took it down. As what? Fake news? No, it was an actual article. It was put out by a doctor describing why it wasn't beneficial to wear face masks. That's a scary thing to be seeing these days. You know, you're welcome to think what you want, learn what you want, read what you want. This is a medical journal taking down their own article. Fake news or not, that's not fake. They were happy to argue it up until recently. And I just find that to be scary. I mean, really scary. They're burning their own book. Yeah. Literally burning their own book because people were linking it and having you read it. And, you know, if that's the times we're in, we're for some scary times. If that's the kind of stuff that's happening these days, you got, you know, Facebook partners with Full Fact to help people spot fake news. This was actual real medical journal data that they burned themselves.
Well, God forbid if it should be accurate.
Yeah, and it was from a magazine called Oral Health. I'll put a link up there for you. And it was just, it's whether or not you believe the article or not, and whether or not you want your dentist to breathe on you while he or she is doing a procedure on your face. Well, I mean, frankly, I'd rather them wear a mask. I don't want to know what they had for lunch anyways. So wearing a mask makes sense there, but this doctor was talking about why it wasn't necessary based on infectious disease specifically. So when you start burning your own books, you got to ask yourself, what times are we living in? Scares me a little bit, especially on this 4th of July. That's why I wanted to bring it up. You know, I can't make it up. This is exactly what's happening. And, you know, news is news and data is data. And to burn your own book like that is just, to me, very scary. But what are you going to do? Times we're living in, I guess. Although I think we should do something. What else you got there, Bob? Anything?
Yeah, this one's pretty good. It's another tech article.
Yep.
Self-driving trucks hit the road at scale with TuSimple's new freight network.
So they're actually driving on our roads or someone else's roads?
The autonomous freight network will receive support from UPS.
Nice.
Penske.
Wow.
And U.S. Express, as TuSimple, that's TuSimple, works to bring self-driving truck semis to market.
Oh, boy.
The U.S. will be home to a world's first in the autonomous freight network, designed to bring self-driving semi-trucks to market in a safe manner. San Diego-based startup TuSimple is its creator. Mm-hmm. It brought some heavy hitters on board to see the project through.
Yeah.
TuSimple said Wednesday that UPS, Penske, and U.S. Express will each work with the startup to bring the project to life over three phases. Penske Truck Leasing will handle preventative maintenance and help TuSimple scale its fleet operation, while U.S. Express provides the startup with more opportunities to collect data as it runs TuSimple Level 4 driving system. Okay.
Okay.
So anyway,
I guess level 3 and level 2 had actual drivers.
Yeah. Well, they're actually going to have drivers. I'm going to kind of jump to the end.
Oh, they are. They're going to have guys that
have drivers in there as a backup.
All right. Yeah, so makes sense.
It's not until they get to level 5 that it's completely autonomous.
Wow.
So they're one level away.
All right.
So, but they're going to try this, and it's going to be strictly on the over the road highways.
Yeah.
Like the big ones, and they're going to do this.
Have they driven on our highways? I mean, my wife and I drove from Connecticut to Florida recently, and yikes is all I have to say.
So
there's some serious issues out there with our highways.
This coast-to-coast route is the first of two that Electrify America plans to launch in 2020. The second route will take Interstate 10 from Los Angeles to Florida and is expected to open in September. They will join the San Diego to Seattle to and Portland to Maine, Maine to Miami long-distance routes that are already in place.
All right.
So, yeah, it's coming.
Very good. All right, we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. We are live this on this 4th of July, so if you'd like to get online, it's a good time to do it. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Our live links are having issues this morning, so they may not be available till later. However, we are live over at WTIC's Facebook page. Bob and I decided to wear the exact same shirt. We'll be right back. And we are back on this July 4th, 2020, our Independence Day. And got a chance to check out Hamilton on Disney Plus last night. Very cool. I would have loved to see it in Broadway. Broadway's suffering. I mean, all those actors have got nothing to do. But if you want to check out Hamilton, it's on Disney Plus, if you're lucky enough to have Disney Plus. Very well done, and very much enjoyed the program. Let's go to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Don in Unionville next. What's going on, Don?
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good. My daughter has an iPhone 7, which for several years she was able to import videos and photos using a USB cord to PC.
Yeah.
But it stopped a year ago, and, you know, you see the DCIM folder and the files, and you try transferring, it'll go 99% of the way, and then say, oh, there's a malfunction with the device. And the other half the time, it won't even show the DCIM folder. So we tried the usual suspects, updating software and drivers, and nothing works.
All right. Being it's an iPhone 7, how old would you think it is?
I don't know.
All right.
4 years old?
Yeah. So Apple's notorious for apps for system obsolescence. You could have some sort of corruption in one of the files you're trying to transfer, I guess. I assume you've tried other computers to try to interface?
Three computers, three different versions of Windows 7, 8, Dell computer, HP, nothing works.
Right. So that transfer, there's some sort of corruption on the iPhone.
Okay.
Some file she's got. So maybe I would tell you to tell her to delete anything she doesn't need on that iPhone, try to clean it up a bit, and maybe she'll hit the bad file, maybe, and try it again. So if you reduce the amount of data, or at least you clean up the potential bad data, maybe it'll transfer after you do that.
Yeah, that'll be a job. She says she's got 50 videos backlogged.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, I'm not sure. I'm surprised she has that much space even to house that kind of stuff. But you got some ideas?
Yeah, well, part of the problem is you're right with space, because you need extra space when you're transferring photos, because it creates a temporary copy.
On the phone itself?
Yes.
Ah, so that's the issue,
so
maybe.
If you don't have enough space, there's no room for that temporary copy.
Makes sense.
If you're doing small files, it's usually not a problem. But when
right.
you talk about video files,
that's a problem. Do you get anything to transfer, or
well,
just...
Let me add one more thing. She can successfully import to an Apple computer.
She can?
Yes.
So then it's not the phone? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Well, if it works for the Apple
to
device...
any PC, and I'm talking about three different laptops.
Well, the other thing, too, you mentioned that you didn't always see the DCIM folder.
Right.
And one of the things with that, particularly on the older ones, I've got an older one, is what'll happen is you can get a pop-up on your computer that goes away, and you'll get a pop-up on your iPhone that where you have to allow them to share data on that drive.
Okay.
And if you don't do it on both of them, you're not going to have any success.
So the security settings could have changed on one of them there. But if it works on the Mac, so I guess the answer to your question would be, well, then do it on the Mac.
Yeah, it's a roundabout way, but you're right.
It's the only option, because if you're fighting with the PC, the operating system, it looks like it still is current. So it's either a space issue or a communication issue. It could be a cable issue talking to the PC. It's clearly not a data corruption issue, because you're able to copy everything to the Mac.
Right.
So what else you got, Bob?
Another idea? I got an article that explains how that works.
How it works, but not necessarily a solution for why it won't go to the PCs.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, Apple interfacing with the PC is the last issue here, and it could be just a volume of data that's trying to be moved over. If she does it in smaller chunks, maybe that'll be friendlier.
Sometimes she can get one file. Sometimes.
What cable is she using? The same cable she uses to go to the Mac?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know there are specific cables that are more friendly to Apple than others that I've heard throughout the show with other folks calling in. So maybe the cable is just not as friendly to the PCs as it is to the Mac.
Okay.
I have cables, Brand X cables, that will only charge the phone and won't transfer data.
So maybe she's got a cable issue, maybe.
Okay.
But I don't have any more ideas than that, but especially since it works with the Mac. It must be something incompatible with the PCs.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Like I said, it all of a sudden just stopped, and I'm thinking somewhere along the line she missed an update to some driver or software. I don't know.
It's possible, but I would tell her to also look to see if she can improve her cable.
Okay.
Maybe it'll be more friendly to the PC.
I've got an article from ezus.com that gives a number of things you can try.
Okay.
If you want to.
That's the backup software that we recommend for your PC.
I got it. Okay.
All right, Don.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Now let me just go to who else is on the line here now. Da-da-da-da-da-dee. We're going to go to John in Meriden. What's going on, John?
Oh, great show, gentlemen. Happy 4th of July to you and your families. And
thanks.
And thank you for being here today.
Our pleasure. We weren't sure how well it would go if people were going to be out and about, but then we figured, nah, they're not. They're all going to be stuck in their houses.
Yes, with the computer problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no 4th of July.
Today is day number 2 that Facebook doesn't work anymore.
Facebook stopped working for you?
Yeah, I'm going to click on now bookmarks. Then I click on bookmarks.
Uh-huh.
I go down to welcome to Facebook. And now, did not connect, potential security issue. Firefox will not connect. www.facebook.com has a security policy called HTTP, strict transport security, which means that Firefox can only connect to it securely.
Right.
And you cannot add an exception to this visit.
All right, let me see it for myself. So I'm able to log in with Firefox to Facebook. So it's you, it's not Facebook. Have you updated your Firefox lately?
Firefox, it updates by itself.
Well, not necessarily.
Oh, boy.
Go to help and about.
Wait a minute. I just have to X out of this. Then I go to Firefox.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you go to up a right-hand corner, those three little bars, I'm suspecting you have an old version.
Ah, okay. Three bars. It says open menu.
Right. You want to go to the little three bars and bring it all the way down to help, and then go to about.
Help. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
and now it'll update.
About.
Right in the bottom there.
Oh, about Firefox. Yes.
All right, now it's going to try to update, because the version I'm running is 77.0.1. What are you running?
Where do I see it? Oh, 7801064-bit.
All right, so you got a later one than me, so I'm going to restart my Firefox and see if the update breaks Facebook.
There's no way to get into Facebook.
You're also probably better off.
Yes, not getting into it.
Right. Have you gone to Chrome to see if it works in Chrome?
I do Firefox, and then when it comes up, I go to search, and then I click on DuckDuckGo. It doesn't work with ducks either.
DuckDuckGo. So I've gone ahead and updated my Firefox, and it works fine with Facebook. I'm at 78.0.1 now. So, what else is wrong with your Firefox? So, you may have to clear the browser cache.
Okay, what do I do?
Well, it's going to be under your... where was the browser cache, Bob? You know where it is, Bob?
I'm not running...
No, you're not running Firefox.
Firefox.
Yeah.
Haven't needed it lately.
I know. Probably under privacy security. So, under privacy security, you can set clearing your... You can clear your data... under cookies and site data. You might want to clear that.
Okay. That's the three bars again?
Oh, yeah. Everything's done with the three bars. You're going to go to options and then privacy and security.
Okay, there's options. And then when I hit privacy and security, yep, mm-hmm. I do that all the time. And I go down.
And you
and
clear
it
your
says
data?
Clear data.
Yep. So you do that all the time, huh?
Yeah, it says 141, so I click.
What's your security, before you go further, what is your security set to? Is it set to standard or strict? What do you have it set to?
Where do I find that, sir?
Same place, browser privacy.
Browser, oh, privacy and security.
Yeah, what do you set to, standard, strict, or custom?
Manage data?
Nope, privacy and security, that right there is a, there are three buttons. It's enhanced tracking protection, then below it says standard, strict, so your tracking configurations or custom. You know what you're set to? Actually, I got to put you on hold anyways. You're coming against the hard break. Can I put you on hold?
Thank you, sir. Yes, you can.
We're going to do that. And if you guys want to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here live until 11 o'clock on the 4th of July. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here until 11 o'clock. We are live on this 4th of July. And we're glad you're here listening. And feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We have three lines wide open for you. We're still working on John's issue. You still there, John?
I'm looking during the break for what you told settings. The
yeah.
only thing I can find is standard, strict, custom.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What are you set to?
Standard is a nothing there. Strict is nothing there. Custom is a dot. This is all in blue.
Yes, correct. So you've done something custom, my friend. You thought you knew something better than they did, and you customized your privacy and security.
Oh, I didn't, but I might have done it by mistake.
I know, I know. So what I would tell you to do is check the standard box.
Okay.
That way Mark Zuckerberg can really pay attention to what you're interested in.
Oh, lovely.
So if you look at what it says here, balanced for protection and performance, pages will load normally. Social media trackers, cross-site tracking cookies,
yep,
tracking content.
It's all in blue.
Now that's in blue, now that you've moved it over to standard, right?
Okay.
So at the bottom, I think you may have to apply that.
Apply.
Is there an apply button? I'm not sure if there's an apply button. Nope, you can just set it. So you should be able to go ahead now and go to Facebook.
X out of this?
Yep, you can go ahead and make sure you're set to standard and then go over to the URL area there and just type in www.facebook.com.
Okay,
and you'll be back.
Bookmarks? Bookmarks?
I wouldn't go to your bookmarks. Just type it in.
Oh, okay. WW Facebook?
Three W's Facebook, but yep. www.facebook.com.
F-A-C-B-O-O-K.
Yep. That's how you spell it.
Com. Enter. Now there's the best bunch of choices here.
Oh, you got some new choices?
Well, Facebook login or sign up.
Yeah, there it is. So you basically have the Facebook page right there. So go ahead and log in. You put your email address.
Connect potential security issue. Firefox detected security threat.
Interesting.
Right back where we started from.
But you can log in, though. You see how you have an area to log in?
Where? Nope.
No, you don't have the area to log in?
Nope.
Hmm.
But if there's up at the top of the page, there's a black lock with a orange gizmo, a triangle.
All right.
And if I click on that, it says connection not secure.
Right. So Firefox is seeing some sort of SSL issue or security certificate issue that none of us are seeing.
Wow.
So Bob has another alternative that you can try, right?
Okay.
Did you want to reset it?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the setting is, but I was reading in the article that you could reset your browser
completely
to factory standard.
So we think you might have hit other radio dial buttons in there besides just the one you and I just found earlier, and you're locking yourself out somehow.
Back to
that's all our guess is.
It says standard.
I believe you. You're back to standard, but there could be other buttons you might have clicked on.
Oh.
So if you reset it back to standard config, you might have better result.
Yep, I'm on standard.
No. Well, I'm talking about defaulting it, all the buttons, not just the one we picked.
Oh, what do I do then?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to try to give you a link to follow. Unfortunately, our Computer Talk with Tab live links page is down this morning.
Okay.
But we'll put a link up there for you where you can actually set it back to factory fresh. The other idea would be to completely uninstall Firefox and reload it.
It won't work on the DuckDuckGo either.
DuckDuckGo. Or, yeah, how about, have you tried Chrome, the beach ball?
Don't have it. Where it says search?
Well, you can download Chrome. Yeah, there should be a way to download Chrome.
It just says Bing, Amazon, Ducks, and eBay. Those are the choices.
Well, sure. Right. But you can also go ahead and type in Google Chrome.
Google Chrome.
Yeah, and go ahead and download that browser and see if Facebook works. But I think somehow your Firefox browser is broken.
Okay.
I think. So something's wrong, clearly, John.
Yes, sir. Time for a new one, too.
Yeah, well, you can try Chrome. And obviously within DuckDuckGo, it's interesting that it's not working as well. So there could be something else going on here, but I can't think of what.
Okay. Oh, I thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the holidays when
you...
After 11.
Yeah, after 11, yeah.
Yes.
I got to work on my pool still.
Hey, one more quick question before I tie up everything. I need a new computer. This one is old.
Mm-hmm.
What are the parameters for a new one?
Minimum i5 processor.
i5. Yeah. i5 processor.
8 gigs of RAM.
RAM.
Yep. And a nice solid-state hard drive, 256 gigs or better.
Solid hard drive?
Solid-state, yep, SSD.
Okay, solid-state hard drive.
Right,
i5 Pro?
i5 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, and a 256 solid-state drive. Those are your bare minimums, if you can do that.
256 solid state
hard drive
or larger.
Or larger, yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, sir.
Any company? I don't know.
I'll tell you to look at HP to start.
HP is good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have good luck with them.
All righty. And should it be something they call all-in-one?
All-in-one is great for space, but if that screen goes, your whole computer is a brick. Oh.
Oops.
Yeah.
So the old-fashioned towers are good still?
Yep. Towers are great with individual monitors. That separates the problems.
Towers and monitor.
All right, John?
Okay, sir. And if you went, let's say, to Best Buy or the other place there, do they set it up?
I don't know. They might. They might help you with that. They might have geeks to assist you. I wouldn't know.
Geeks? Do you guys?
We don't. We only work with businesses. We don't work with the general public.
I understand. Hey, thank you very much.
All right, John. Good luck.
Bye. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Yep, bye-bye. I'm not sure we helped him a whole lot, but there's definitely something wrong with this Firefox. Let's go to Rick in South Windsor next. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
Doing okay. How are you?
Good, good. Great, thanks. Question. I have an old, old computer. I've got one that's about 8 years old, and it is slow as molasses, and I'm ready to switch to a new one.
Yeah.
It's actually a new used one. So my question is, what's the best way to go about transferring my data over? It would be like a hardwired network connection, wireless network, USB. What do you think?
Well, we would give you the easiest USB approach. You want to talk about the hard drive, Bob, with the USB adapter?
Well, you could do that. The old one's still working?
Yeah, it's working. It's just really slow.
Okay. Well, you could try copying the data over from the network. You'd have to share your C drive.
Yeah, but that might be more complicated than it's worth, right, to try to set up a peer network between the two computers.
So the other thing you could do is go and get yourself a USB drive and copy the data over to that on the old computer and then bring it over to the new computer and plug it in.
And now that drive becomes a backup as well.
Uh-huh. And is there an easy way to do it? I use Carbonite for backup.
Hmm.
Is there an easier way to do it with that? Like, so I wouldn't have to reload all my programs or...
So Carbonite's going to give you your backup of your data. It's not going to give you a way to restore your programs to a new operating system, because if your operating system now is Windows 7, like I suspect it is.
Actually, I upgraded to Windows 10, so they're okay. Both Windows 10.
All right, so if it's Windows 10, the same problem can actually exist trying to restore your programs. They won't reinstall properly.
Okay.
So Carbonite really is only going to give you a backup restoration of your data.
Okay.
So what you're going to you should try it, though. It'd be interesting for you to see how your backup worked, right? See if what you're paying for is of any value. So do you have the new computer set up?
Yeah, I do, actually.
All right, so load your Carbonite account and then go up to the Carbonite cloud and select the data that you want to restore. So you want to make a directory on the new computer that says, you know, make a directory called Restore Data or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
You can call it whatever you want. And go ahead and kick off the restore from Carbonite and have it come down. Now, you're going to need some time because it's going to take a while to restore your data. We've actually picked up businesses because when they tried to do a restoration because some other IT firm recommended Carbonite, they were down for a week and a half. Because in the cloud, it's going to take time to come down. For your personal needs, though, it's probably not a problem. But feel free to bring it on down and see how you do with the data coming down. And if you look at it and it's worked out well, hey, you had a great investment there. But you're still going to have to reinstall your programs.
Yeah, and okay. All right, I will give that a shot. Thanks very much, guys.
All right, good luck, Rick.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, and then we're going to get, when we come back from this break, we're going to have a report from Tech Trends about working from home. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and I do want to have that Tech Trends report for you guys. So, Matt, if you could cue that off, let's see what happens.
In a competitive tech world, companies are always looking to the latest trend to keep their employees productive and happy at the office. But a new study suggests that employees are actually happiest when they're simply pretending to work from home. The study from tech and consulting giant IBM found employees felt overall more focused and content with their jobs when doing personal tasks like catching up on laundry or their favorite TV shows when they should be working.
I just make sure that I send some emails to my supervisor first thing in the morning so he thinks I'm up and working, but then I just go right back to bed.
And never have to deal with rush hour traffic or anything. I just walk across the room, sit down at my desk, and start browsing through my Twitter feed immediately.
The trend is making its way to the country's most influential tech companies like Google, where employees are encouraged to put in 12 empty hours of work a week from their homes. The study hasn't swayed every company, however. Yahoo CEO Marissa Meyer said in a statement, "At Yahoo, we prefer that our employees pretend to work side by side right here in our offices." Next up, Apple's new summer iPhone soaks you with mosquito repellent to keep you bite-free throughout the year's hottest months.
There's a feature for you. So yeah, I figured that, you know, it's a pretty topical report from Tech Trends. That was a half a decade old report, of course, from The Onion. But, you know, the times they are changing, and here we are. We're all rolling out of bed and working in our sweatpants. You know, how effective are we all working from home? I don't know. I think the jury will be out on that, but obviously more of us are going to be doing it. Because we can. You know, the technology is much more friendly to doing it. And B, you know, obviously folks are trying to figure out what they're going to be doing with this virus and how they want to react to it. And some companies are going crazy on one side, you know, we don't want to see you forever again. And others are saying, get your butts back into work. So it's a mixed bag everywhere. But I just thought that was funny. Let's go on to Fran in Hartford next. What's up, Fran?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got an interesting sort of problem. I've got an older a PC that I suddenly got the message that no bootable hard drive found.
Oh, that's not good.
No. So I have been periodically backing up the machine or the data to a Western Digital hard drive. So,
good.
And periodically, you know, every couple of weeks I would do that. So then I went to restore the data, and each time I did it, I'd get a message, you know, computer successfully backed up. So I went to, you know, retrieve the data, and I can't get any data from before, from after 2018.
Oh, boy.
All the files are there except files to the end of 2018, and I have been backing it up, you know, at least once a month and maybe twice a month.
Well, so you thought you were. This is a problem with backup. This is the problem with backup, right? You're using a tool, correct? To do the backup, what software tool did you say you were using?
The Western Digital backup software that was loaded on the passport drive.
Right, way back when. So it was supposedly on a schedule backing up for you, but clearly it wasn't. Now, if people don't review the backup to see if it actually was occurring, review the logs, review the things that are occurring on their backup, you don't really know if your backup's been working. And, of course, the rubber hits the road when you actually do a restoration. So in this case, the Western Digital software failed you. It stopped for whatever reason, backing up. Could be numerous things that have caused an issue. But as your system updated from the version it was in 2018 or 2019 to now, something broke the backup software.
And it's interesting because each time you'd run the backup, if you will, you'd watch the progress and then all the files successfully backed up.
Except for the ones that were new.
Yeah exactly.
So it was rebacking up the old ones. Which is not of any use to you. It's useful, but not as useful as getting everything. It's a problem. So again, in our business, one of the key factors of what we do as a company for our business clients is constantly check if the backup's working and B, how healthy the backup is. Will it be restorable? So even in the cloud and locally, we can tell whether or not our client has a healthy backup image. For home users, you literally have to occasionally do a test.
I see.
Or look at the logs to see. But you were being tricked in the fact that it was saying it was successful. The other issue you could have experienced is that you might have done what's called a selective backup. So let's say you chose directory A, B, and C, but you created a D directory for the next year and didn't do that.
It was the C drive.
Okay, the whole C drive. Okay. So in that case, it wouldn't have occurred. But some people find out the hard way that they never selected the new folder. So I'm sorry this happened to you. I don't have any way to.
And there's no way to do anything with that drive, most likely, correct?
No, there is.
The broken drive.
There is. So you could, if you want to spend the money, for about $100, you'll find out how much it will cost you to recover the data. There's a company called OnTrack, Kroll OnTrack, in New York that we recommend for our business clients whenever this does occur, which is thankfully rare. You'll send the drive out, and for $100 or so, they'll tell you, okay, here's what it'll cost you to get your data back, if it can be done.
O-N-T-R-A-C-K?
Yep, OnTrack. Kroll OnTrack. It might just be Kroll now or OnTrack now.
Oh, Kroll, K-R-O-L-L?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And so if it's really important to you, that's where you would start. You could also try a few other things yourself, but the more you monkey around with the quote-unquote failed drive, the bigger the chances you'll lose whatever data's on there.
I see. Now, for my future state, how do you recommend that we back up our system regularly?
Well, again, I use EaseUS, which is a Chinese backup software, so take that with a grain of salt. You can use any backup program you wish, but the real key is to make sure it's working, which means you got to test it. And when you create a backup using a backup program, it creates these files that are unreadable, right?
You have to actually restore them, correct? Yeah. Retrieve them.
Exactly. So for some people, just a simple copy and paste gives them that peace of mind. The problem is you have to automate that process. And you can use Xcopy or RoboCopy in a batch format that will copy files on a regular basis. It won't be as intelligent as a backup because you'll end up overwriting files and changing files based on date. I mean, you can add some switches and stuff for syntax to protect some of that, but it can get a little geeky. But a simple copy and paste, you'll always know if your files are good. But we'll post EaseUS once our website is operational. Right now that our site is not working. Great. Welcome to Saturday morning.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate all your help as always.
Yeah, good luck. Hopefully you can get your data back.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's go to Patrick in East Lyme. Hey, Patrick, you may have to get your question in. They'll have to hold you over, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Go ahead.
Good morning. I got a question. We're looking to buy a laptop for our daughter going into to college in the fall, and we kind of honed in on the MacBook Pro.
Nice.
And the size and all that kind of thing that we want. The thing that we're not sure on is the couple models we're looking at. One has an i5 10th generation processor, and the other has an i7 8th generation processor, and we weren't sure which is the better, if they're equal or what the difference might be.
They're not equal. What is she going to do in college?
She's going to be going into nursing school there.
Okay. I got a couple of nieces who are nurses as well, or in nursing school. So you don't need an i7 for nursing school.
Okay.
So I'll go with the i5, the latest i5 processor. I think in the long run, it might save you some money. I assume it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And will perform very well for what she's going to use it for.
That's excellent. That's what we kind of wanted to confirm, because we want to kind of get it to last for 4 years and not
Out
in the year and a half, whatever.
If she doesn't drop it, it'll last her 4 years or more.
Okay, excellent.
All right.
I have a second question on the camcorder.
So hang on, Patrick, then. We're coming up against a hard break. Can I get that second question in after the break?
Sure.
All right. Thank you. We'll put you on hold. We're going to have three lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be live over at Facebook, over at WTIC's Facebook page, if you want to watch Bob and I in action, living color. We're there for you to check out. And, of course, you can always check us out on the podcast over at radio.com. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.